In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we commemorate the feast of the procession of the Holy Cross. And this feast is commemorated on this day because in Constantinople, the month of August was a time of disease and sickness. And so the church dedicated that month to the cross. And every day throughout that month, the cross would be carried in procession throughout the city, and there would be prayers for the deliverance of God made throughout the city. And that's one of the reasons why in Greek practice they do throughout the fast, which we begin today, the Dormition Fast, the paraklesis to the Mother of God on every evening of the Dormition Fast. Also on this day we commemorate the Maccabean martyrs. And to understand the context of this particular group of martyrs, you have to understand the story of the Maccabean revolt. And I would encourage you to get out your Bibles if you have one that has the Deuterocanonical books. The Orthodox Study Bible has them. But read 1st and 2nd Maccabees. The story of the Maccabean revolt reads like an epic novel, and it has the advantage, though, of being absolutely historically factual. But the context of that is that Alexander the Great, of course, invaded the Persian Empire and defeated them in an amazing, crushing way. And he went all the way, of course, into India. And then finally his men got tired of going to the ends of the earth, and so he had to turn back. But nevertheless, he took over the entire Persian Empire, which included the area of Palestine, which the Jews, of course, were conquered by the Babylonians and brought into exile. The Persians were very kind to the Jews and allowed them to return to their land and allowed them to rebuild their temple and gave them religious freedom. So whatever else you want to say about the Persians, at least when it came to the Jews had very little cause for complaint. As a matter of fact, the emperor of the Persian Empire, out of his own money, funded quite a bit of the sacrifices in the temple. And when the Greeks took over that empire, they actually continued that practice, although after the death of Alexander the Great, the kingdom of Alexander was divided into four parts. And so the Jews had to deal with two parts of that, the Seleucid Empire, which was what would be mostly the Middle East today, not including Northern Africa, and the Ptolemaic Empire, which would be Egypt and Libya. And the king of Seleucids initially was very benevolent and kind to the Jews, but the kingdom was inherited by a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes, which the prophet Daniel prophesied of his coming, and he is the first image that you find in the Old Testament of the Antichrist, because he was very much like the Antichrist that the New Testament talks about as coming. He decided that all of his kingdom should be one people, and that any particular customs that they might have should be dispensed with. And so he began a campaign of Hellenizing all of his peoples, including the Jews. He forbade circumcision. They executed women and their infants and their families when a child was circumcised. They forced people to offer sacrifices and also to eat swine or pig flesh that had been sacrificed to the gods. And of course, this is something that no Jew could do in good conscience. But many of the people actually accepted this and became very Hellenized and abandoned the god of their fathers. But there was one family headed by a priest by the name of Mattathias, and he had five sons. And he was not going to be one of these people. And of course, in that context, everybody, you know, it's hard to imagine what it would be like to be in a context where this great and powerful kingdom that had swept aside the Persian Empire and had this culture that would have been what was cool at the time, you know, that Greek thought had a lot of appeal to it. It's what the smart people were talking about. And so a lot of the upper class thought, well, why not? Why not embrace this? This is, you know, these people are very advanced. What could be wrong with it? But Mattathias wasn't going for that, and neither were his sons. And when the envoy of the emperor came to their village and attempted to enforce the law that everyone eat pork that had been sacrificed to idols, he not only refused, but when he saw one of the Jews that apostatized come forward to do and obey the king's command, he was filled with indignation, and he slew him and the king's official. And he went and he took his sons and all the people who were faithful into the hill country, and they began a revolt. The word Maccabee comes from the name of his son Judah. He was nicknamed Maccabee because in Hebrew, Maccabee means hammer. And the story is a very amazing story about this small group of people who were able to successfully defeat this huge and advanced empire of very warlike people who had very skillful generals. At one point, but prior to this revolt, the Greeks went into the temple and they defiled it. They built a citadel inside Jerusalem, and that citadel was fortified. It was well stocked and became a thorn in the side of the Jews for quite some time, although they eventually were able to capture that citadel. But this small group of people were able to defeat the Greeks in one battle after another. Then eventually they came into the city of Jerusalem. They cleansed the temple, and that cleansing of the temple and the celebration of the 8 days that follow is what's commemorated in the Feast of Hanukkah, which is actually mentioned in the Gospels. Christ celebrated this feast. Mattathias died before this revolt ended, and he said these words, "Now therefore, my sons, be zealous for the law, and give your lives for the covenant of your fathers. Call to remembrance what acts our fathers did in their time, so shall you receive a great honor and an everlasting name." And then he recounted the various heroes of the Old Testament who stood true for the faith and said, "And thus consider ye throughout all the ages that none that put their trust in him shall be overcome. Fear not then the words of a sinful man, for his glory shall be dung and worms. Today he shall be lifted up, and tomorrow he shall not be found. Because he is returned into his dust, and his thought is come to nothing. Wherefore, ye my sons, be valiant and show yourselves men in behalf of the law, for by it ye shall obtain glory." That's the context of these martyrs, but the martyrs that we specifically commemorate today are a family, a mother and her 7 sons, and also their teacher, a scribe by the name of Eleazar. Eleazar also, he was an old man, about 90 years of age, and he was given the ultimatum to eat the pork sacrificed to the gods, and he refused. And the Greeks initially had some compassion on him, and they said, "You know, you're an old man, we respect you, why don't you just bring some of your own meat and just pretend that it's pork and that it's what was sacrificed to the gods, and we'll leave you alone." And his response was, "It becometh not our age," said he, "in any wise to dissemble, whereby many young people might think that I, being 80 years old were now gone to a strange religion. And so, through mine hypocrisy and desire to have a little more time and a moment longer, should be deceived by me, and I get a stain to mine old age, which is abominable. For though for the present time I should be delivered from the punishment of men, yet should I not escape the hand of the Almighty, neither alive nor dead. Wherefore now, manfully changing this life, I will show myself such a one as mine age requireth, and leave a notable example to such as be young to die willingly and courageously for the honorable and holy laws." And this enraged the Greeks, and they put him to torture, which he endured, and then he died. And then this family, this mother and her 7 sons, were also given the same ultimatum. And one by one, starting with the oldest son, they put those children to torture. This very gruesome to describe. But each one resisted to the end. Finally, they came to the youngest son, and the emperor asked, or the king asked the mother to encourage her son to give in. And it says that she, in her native language, in other words, she said this in Hebrew to make sure that the king didn't understand what she was saying, said, keep resisting. Don't give in. And he was martyred, and finally the mother also. These are the examples that are set before us. In the early church, these martyrs were particularly venerated because if you're familiar with church history and you're familiar with the accounts of the martyrs, you'll recognize that there's a great deal of parallels between what the early Christian martyrs went through and these martyrs. That's why they're referred to as great martyrs before the martyrs in the hymns of the church. These were the examples that the early Christians followed. This is the example that we are to follow. The example of these martyrs and also the example of the priest Mattathias and his sons. We live in a time, in a culture and in a time when there is a paganization of our culture taking place. Everybody who's cool, everybody who's smart is telling us and our children to go in one direction, but we have a tradition and a faith that tells us to go in a different direction. We have no choice if we are to be faithful to God, but to resist, to not give in. We have to stand firm, regardless of whatever prevailing winds there might be. We have to stand faith for the faith and the tradition that we have received from our fathers, the saints, and the martyrs of the church, who have delivered to us unchanged, and let us not be ones who attempt to change it. Amen.